Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, it's not as exciting as Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day radio show weekday mornings from 8 to 9, but, you know, I mean, he can kind of hang with Andy. Andy, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it.
No, I was just going to say that sounds so much better than what we're about to do right here and now, so I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. But I'll do my best to kind of cover and get you through this segment at least, Sparky.
Let's talk about Rashawn Gary. Is this what we're going to have now the rest of the year? Has he made that much of an improvement? Has things changed that much? And if so, what's changed? What is he doing differently that now all of a sudden we're seeing more production?
Yes, Rashawn's an interesting one. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I've actually liked for probably, I would say, better part of like 7-8 weeks now how Rashawn has been playing overall. He's been a plus player. He's been playing good football. And for the most part, he's been a net positive. Well, at the same time, I don't think we're seeing anywhere close to what we saw sort of even pre-ACL injury. Really kind of he came back on fire post-ACL injury right away as well, then kind of hit a wall midway through last year, and then just has never really quite found that stride where you're seeing him be this consistent impact performer. But he's been good for, like I said, probably 6-7 weeks now, and I've liked the way that he's played. He's been a value add for Green Bay. I think just the question is, like, are we starting to see more of a breakout from Rashawn? Are we starting to see somebody who can legitimately take over these games when needed to? I don't think we've seen that yet, but I think we know that he's capable of it, and that would be a huge value add to Green Bay the rest of the season if all of a sudden he can get there. I think it's probably, again, somewhere in the middle where he's playing good football. You like what you're seeing. He's not being a net negative. Early in the year, it was a lot more of a struggle, and you're just seeing consistent football out of Rashawn Gary. And I will say this about Rashawn, for all of them, maybe people wanting a little bit more pass rush and a little bit more impact. One of the things that Rashawn struggled with through large portions of his career was aggressively getting up the field, and a lot of times while doing so, either A, abandoning his run assignment, or B, he would get so far upfield that he would get past the quarterback. And there's a Tommy DeVito play that was very reminiscent of this last year, where DeVito just steps up easily to his right, rolls out, and picks up a bunch of yards on the ground, being able to run the football, and he would abandon his kind of gap in assignment. He has been so much more assignment sure when it has come to run defense and not running out of his lane and alley and not allowing quarterbacks to step up into the pocket. That has been a huge improvement for Rashawn Gary overall. So I think probably it comes a little bit at the detriment, maybe at times, of him being able to get upfield and maybe be a little bit as explosive. But it's coming with him being a better overall football player and not allowing some of those gaps to kind of develop behind him, which I think has been really important. The other thing, too, is we've seen him numerous times, and Green Bay hasn't gone up against too much like read option this year. But we've seen him so many times on read options just bite on the inside and allow stuff open on the outside. He's just playing so much more assignment-sure football. So I think that has been a huge improvement for Rashawn overall.
Let's talk about other things going on that side of the ball. Preston Smith is told it's been real. He wanted to leave as well, which then opened up opportunities for Cox and Mosby. Ngabare has taken a step forward. I feel like this was the absolute right thing to have happen, because now you're seeing what these young guys who've been blocked at this moment in time by an older player now really get to do and getting their chance to shine a little bit. And I feel like they're all coming through in a blaze of glory, Andy Herman.
Yeah, we definitely saw a really fun game for the defensive front this past week. And again, there's signs out there. I know Seattle's offensive line, not very good. We can be real about that. But at the same time, it's just exciting to see them go out, win their one-on-one matchups, and get home with a four-man rush, which has been, again, something they haven't done consistently through the course of this season. So I think this is a real step in the right direction. But when Preston got traded, a lot of people looked at it and said, why are the Packers selling at the trade deadline? This is a team that's fighting for a division, that's clearly a playoff team. What are they possibly thinking that they would sell at the deadline and give up Preston Smith for a future seventh rounder? Like, what would possibly go through their minds? And I didn't see it that way at all. I saw this as, quite frankly, a little bit of addition by subtraction. And this was a Preston Smith that did not fit perfect within this defense. He knew it. I think the Packers knew it. That's why he wanted out. That's why he requested a trade, which I think is also a key part of this. And I just posted a little bit ago, he has, I think, 6 pressures, 0 sacks so far in Pittsburgh. Now, he's not necessarily asked to be that pass rusher. They have TJ Watt. They have Herbig, former Badger. They've got Highsmith. Like, they've got pass rushers, so he's not necessarily asked to do that right now. It's on in Pittsburgh. But in more snaps, he has fewer pressures than Brenton Cox, who has 8. Preston has no sacks. Brenton Cox has 3. Preston has no QB hits. Brenton Cox has 1. And again, Brenton Cox has done that in fewer snaps. So to me, just the change of Preston Smith to Brenton Cox, just that alone has actually been a value add for Green Bay. Not to mention that you're getting younger at the position. You're getting a player that's hungry, that's just starting to learn what he can do out on the field. I mean, 3 sacks is not nothing in a pretty short period of time since Preston Smith was traded away. And I think that in and of itself has been an ad, but you're also getting, again, time for Aaron Mosby, who's been really doing a nice job dropping into coverage when you need it, kind of taking that portion over from Preston Smith when you need somebody to drop in coverage. And I think you just get younger, more athletic, and better fits for the position. Meanwhile, saving $2 million against the salary cap, picking up a 7th-round pick in the process. There's just a perfect move by Brian Gutekunst, and it's sort of been a win all the way around for the Packers.
Talking with Andy Herman, check out his Pack-A-Day radio show weekday mornings from 8 to 9. And of course, his Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Let's talk about the offensive side of the football. I mentioned this earlier with Charlie. When they decided to go away from Aaron Jones and go to Josh Jacobs, I didn't think the identity of the offense would change, but it clearly has changed, Andy.
It really has, and I think in a variety of different ways. First of all, 30 touches for a running back. I mean, we never remotely saw that in the Aaron Jones, situation. So 30 touches for a running back, that's new. That's different. I don't know that we've seen a drive like Josh Jacobs had to open the game in this one, where you're on the road, you take the ball and you just say, we're going to run the ball right at you. We're just going to throw Josh Jacobs right at you over and over and over, and you're not going to stop it. That's an identity change. I think the physicality, the run after contact has changed. And then I also think too, just the way that they run the football, they've tailored this run offense around Josh Jacobs and some of the things that he does a little bit better. It's not as much outside zone stretch play anymore, which we saw a ton with Aaron Jones, and which is smart, right? You want to play to your running back strengths. But I think the type of runs, I think the amount of runs, the amount of touches, and just the difference in demeanor and physicality in this run game, and just a feel that Matt LaFleur, I think, feels like for the first time that he can just rely on his run game when he needs to, and it can really help him get through games. And it just doesn't have to be the passing game with maybe Aaron Jones being kind of that secondary option. It feels like now they're leaning more on Jacobs almost as a primary option and then letting that set up the passing game from there, which has obviously been very successful. They've scored 30 points in 4 consecutive games. I do wonder if we're starting to get into the territory of 30 touches, especially at this point in the season, where do you need to tailor that back just a little bit just to make sure that he's Josh Jacobs, that is fresh going into the playoffs. But this has definitely been and it's not to necessarily say that, Jones isn't really good or anything like that. They're both 2 tremendous running backs. But it's definitely a different demeanor, and it's definitely a different sort of just change in this run game. And I think overall it's kind of been for the positive for Green Bay.
Andy, when we talk about the playoffs and what this looks like, last night in the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express here on The Fan, I said the Lions were done, that these are too many injuries piling up on defense. That was without knowing David Montgomery's injury to his knee, and it looks like he very well is done for the rest of the year as well. So add that on top of the three guys on defense that got hurt. Lee McNeil already deemed out, and I think the other two are going to be out as well. I just said they were done. And I heard you today on what you said was a hot take. You deemed pretty much the same thing. With that being said, who do you feel like is the toughest matchup for the Packers right now come the postseason?
Listen, it very well may still be the Detroit Lions, because they can beat anyone in any one game, and they're a really good football team, even with all the injuries that they have. So it's not to necessarily take anything away from Detroit, but I think the feeling for me is that with Detroit, all the injuries that they have, this is a team that's going to have to put up 38 points, maybe even more, of offense pretty much every single week come playoffs. And I don't know that you can just do that. I don't think they can rely on their defense to get enough stops when they need to in the playoffs. And listen, they might go through the NFC and lose in the Super Bowl. I don't know what their outcome ends up being, but I just don't think that they can make a sustained run in the playoffs with that many injuries. And I'm a pretty big believer that you have to go through some adversity through the season in order to kind of get through this thing and come out the other side of it better and really learn some of your weaknesses and become that complete team that you need to be. That's all well and good. And I think Detroit is certainly going through that adversity, but at some point you have to have the horses to kind of get you through that at the end. And the amount of injuries that they have suffered, it's not fair. It's cruel. You have, in my opinion, the best roster in all of football in Detroit. But when you have Aiden Hutchinson and Carlton Davis and Aleem McNeil and David Montgomery, and I mean, we could spend the next 15 minutes just going through their injury report, Sparky. That is an incredibly tough thing to overcome. I don't think they can make that run. I think Detroit's obviously still going to be in the way for Green Bay, but I like Green Bay's chances if it comes down to that. Minnesota's going to be tough. I think everyone's going to be tough in that NFC playoff race, sincerely, but I think that's what's going to make it really, really fun. And to me, it's not so much about who's in their way. It's about, can Green Bay be playing their best brand of football? And if they can, to me, there's nobody that's going to get in their way besides themselves.
Andy Herman of the Pack a Day Radio Show, weekday mornings 8 to 9 here on The Fan. This morning you had Ryan Horvath on from BetMGM. Tonight we have him on Thursdays here on the show, always entertaining. Tomorrow, another big name guest. Us old folks remember when this dude used to work in Milwaukee at Channel 12, us old folks, but he's been in Green Bay for some time.
Yeah, we've got Chris Roth coming on tomorrow. Really excited to chat with him. He's the sports director at WBAY in Green Bay. And we're just going to be chatting, obviously, all things Green Bay Packers, kind of going through his key takeaways from that Packers-Seahawks game, where Green Bay goes kind of the rest of the way. Talking, of course, about Jordan Love, some of Matt LaFleur's decision-making, and should be a really interesting conversation. Really excited to get to talk some Packers with him tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. I'll be listening as always. Andy, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Sparky. Talk to you soon.